Good morning, church. Buenos días. Well, we are in a new sermon series on community. Can you say with me, community? Amen. So we want to build and help St. John to get stronger and celebrate and continue to celebrate these 45 years of community that we have so that we can keep moving forward into the future. So today we're going to reflect on the first principle to build a gospel community. And the reason we call it the blueprint for gospel community is because the community in the church is different from any other community that you might experience outside of the church. Because in the church, for Christ, with Christ as the head of the church, the purpose of the church is to grow together in transformation, grow and become more and more like Christ. There is an end goal. More than just spending time together and being happy together and support one another, the end goal is to be transformed to the image of Christ and grow together as we worship God as one. So let's reflect on Mark 2, 13, 14, and it's the call of Levi, Matthew, and then we talk about this principle where God is calling everyone, especially those who are broken. This is what the Bible says. Then Jesus went out to the lakeshore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. So Jesus is still in the business of calling people. Doesn't matter where you are in life. Doesn't matter what is going on with you, especially those who are considered sinners. So the biblical context for this is that tax collectors were people that other Jews believed that they were traitors. They were taking and extracting taxes from people. We don't like taxes even today. You know, but tax collectors, they were serving other governments. So they were Jewish people serving the Roman government. So they were very, very despised by everyone. And yet, Jesus find him at the tax collector booth. For me, it's just he found him in his sin. And yet, he called him. And then he said, "Follow me and be my what? My disciple." So Jesus is still calling people for transformation. So he finds you and finds me where we are with the hope and the grace that we're going to grow into becoming disciples. And the word disciples in Greek is the word matete, that means one that is like his master, becoming in mind, in spirit, in action, like your master. Then he says later, after all of this, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as a dinner guest, along with many tax collectors and others, sinners. And when you hear this, is that once you find a sinner, guess what? Behind a sinner, there are more sinners, right? So he said, let's bring all the tax collectors, not only one, let's bring all the tax collectors to a dinner. And here is what he says. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. I believe that one of the challenges that we have in the church today is that we are too clean today to be disciples. The churches should be filled of people who are from different walk of life, people who are not walking with God, and therefore they need redemption, they need transformation. And it's awesome when we become disciples and the church is full of disciples, that's awesome. But when the church is not connecting with sinners anymore, and by the way, we are all sinners, I'm referring to those who don't repent yet, those who are not in a relationship with Jesus yet and are not in the path to become disciple of Jesus. But when the teachers of the religious law who were Pharisees saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" And the question here is, when was the last time that you share your table with someone that is outside of your community, someone that is not walking with Christ? How many friends do you have who are not believers? That's the challenge. So we typically eat three times a day. So it means you have 21 opportunities during the week to reach to someone that are not, that who is not connected with Christ. And it's a challenge. It's an opportunity. Sometimes, especially when God and Jesus call us to become disciples, as we walk with him, it's an opportunity to spend time with people and eat with them as we go, make disciples as we go, incorporate people in our lives as we go. So, you have, I'm going to ask the ushers to pass down a card. And here's the instruction for this card, okay? Number one, these are questions that are for you and I to reflect in our life, knowing that the purpose and the calling of community and the purpose of the sermon is to talk about first embracing our brokenness, like Levi did. So first is no names, so you don't write your name. Number two, be honest. And number three, participate. So if you need to scroll and don't let people see it, fine, okay? But please fill it out and then participate. After that, we're going to gather all these cards back and we're going to shuffle the cards. We're going to shuffle the cards and give it back to you at the end of the sermon. So you're not going to be reading your card. At the end of the sermon, you're not going to be reading your card. You're going to be reading someone else's card. So, especially if you are married and your husband is by your side, just do this, okay? And fill it out. But answer every question. Even if you say no, 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 yes, no, yes, no. Don't think too much, too deep. This is something simple. Just go fast and just answer the questions. Be honest. Participate. Because the more we participate, more grace will be released from heaven to us as we do this. Embracing our brokenness. We are all broken. Not only the people who are on the streets are broken, we are also broken, and we want to create a space for brokenness. And that's the idea. And that's why Jesus said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Okay, so we repented, yes, but we are sinners. We are not righteous, and Jesus is calling us. So this is just an exercise for you to have a time with the Holy Spirit. Be honest. Be honest. And I'm going to give you a few minutes. Please check both sides of the card. Thank you. are good? Yes? Good? Done? Embracing our brokenness. In a world that often encourages us to appear strong and flawless, Jesus offers an entire different perspective. He invites those who feel marginalized, sinful, and deeply flawed to come to him. In the parable of the lost sheep, we have these powerful principles that God is very strategic and he's after you, one person, only one person. And the teaching is that the pastor and the shepherd leave 99 safe sheep and go to find one. And my first reaction to this is that often God math makes no sense. Leaving 99 to go and find one. Let's see this video that go viral. A kid that doesn't understand math.
Jaden has $1 bill, 1 quarter, and 2 pennies. How much money does he have? Jaden broke.
His conclusion was Jade is broke, right? So that's the, you know, that's happened to me when I read the Bible. It makes no sense. And I go to a whole different direction. That's not what God intended for me. So when we read this parable, we have so many principles embedded in this message of the lost sheep. Recognizing the need of community. You know, we often feel disconnected or lost, or we wander off out of the community. And God is always chasing us, looking for us, inviting us to come back. This lost sheep represents those who feel isolated and disconnected. But here also speak about the shepherd's determination to seek out the one lost sheep and leaving 99. Showing us and teaching us that every individual has value. So we have value. Every sheep in the flock holds intrinsic value to the shepherd. And when he finds the sheep, it says that he celebrates. He called his friends and neighbors together to celebrate, showing us that there is a feast in heaven every time we turn around, every time we repent. There is a feast, there is celebration in heaven. And for me, show me that God really loves me and his love is unconditional. Doesn't matter what I do, he's still chasing after me and he's still chasing after you. So whatever people say to you all the time, know that you are loved. Know that God sees you regardless of your issues and your brokenness and the things that you share, things that you don't share. God really loves us. And he's after us. This powerful promise in Hebrews 13:5. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. I don't know if, especially when you're going through things and you feel disconnected. And the reason we need relationships in community. There is no way to grow as a strong community if we don't have relationship with one another. So knowing that doesn't matter how you feel today, disconnected, isolated, not understood, your needs are not being met, know that beyond your feelings and beyond your own experience, there is truth. God loves you. And he's saying to you, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. And the only way he can do that is through other people. That's what makes powerful that we are part of a tradition, part of a faith that is based on relationship. This is not like other religions where you have a set of rules, and if you do this set of rules, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, now you have community, or now you have a spiritual growth. A spiritual growth only happens in the kingdom of God, in a gospel community, when we are in relationship first with Christ and then with one another. If you go to the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation and explore and learn about every scripture that says support one another, love one another, pray for one another, you're going to be overwhelmed of so many words that God is giving us, encouraging us to be in relationship with one another. This is not like the Gnostics or people that believe that through knowledge you are going to aim and accomplish a spiritual growth. You don't. This is the Christian faith. It's based in a relationship with Jesus and with one another as his body. It's not about knowledge. So I can go home and study Greek and Hebrew and learn the 66 books of the Bible and not being in community. Guess what? You're not going to grow spiritually, because for us to grow spiritually, Christ already established it through a relationship with Jesus, around the scriptures, spending time together, worshiping God. That's the only way we can do this. And doesn't matter how you feel and how I feel, there is a promise. And these promises are powerful. Then he says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious hand. So you know that doesn't matter what is going on, he's holding you. So don't trust your emotions. Trust the fact that God loves you. And he's saying to you, and he's promising us, that he's with us. And therefore, we're going to be fine. He's waiting for us. And we need to learn to live in this tension between what I feel and what I know. But we need each other. And as we spend time with each other, we grow together, we get stronger. And there is this different relationships level that we have. Sometimes we feel no connection, as I just said. Sometimes we have fake connections, like you feel that you are in a relationship where you are not valued, where you are not appreciated, where people are putting you down all the time, or you are in a relationship where people are superficial, everything is cookies and cream, everything is perfect, you never argue. That's not what God is calling us to do. In the gospel community, in biblical communities, in kingdom communities, God is calling us to be real, to share our stuff, to have accountability, to grow together, to come together and then just share our hearts and share our burdens. And as we do that, God will bless us. And that's why he started calling the unlikely, calling Levi, people who are broken, and we need to embrace our brokenness. And as we do that, we share our burdens and we become stronger together, lift each other up, and creating spaces for us to grow together spiritually in relationship and then show up for one another. If we do that, we're going to grow stronger. Know this, you are not alone. Say that to your neighbor, you are not alone. You are not alone. Doesn't matter what your emotion says, you are not alone. We are praying for one another. You have been together for 45 years. God is with us. The Holy Spirit is here. We are not alone. We are not alone. You are not alone. And we need to believe that and claim that, especially when nothing makes sense around us. Reflect in these two questions. Who in your life reflect Jesus' unlikely choices? Do you have friends that you know are like Levi? So we need to start building relationships. So I hope that one of your new goals as you close the year or for 2025 is to start developing relationships with people that you know are unlikely choices. Who can you become more open to seeing value in those who are marginalized in society? Find people that you know are broken, people that society usually marginalize, and do an intentional, make an intentional effort to connect with them. Become friends with them. Number two, as I said at the beginning, eating with sinners. Open your table. Open your house. One of the biggest challenges that we have in America is that we are very protected of our space, of our homes, of my private space. It's impossible to make disciples when you are so protected of your space. Discipleship is messy. And you have to risk your space. You have to risk to be hurt. And that's the only way we can make disciples. So inviting a person once a month, at least, say, pray, Father, who can I invite today? Who are those that you want to save, that you want to have an encounter, that you want to touch? And let's create one day a month in my house to open the table for a person like that. Eating with sinners. In that, we're going to follow Jesus' path. Why? Because Jesus came for whom? For the broken, for those who are sick, not for those who call themselves righteous. And as we know that, then let's open the space here at St. John, but also in our house, in our houses, in our families, in our household. Let's open a space for the broken ones, for those who are broken. Who do you tend to exclude from your community? That's a powerful question. You know, we don't feel comfortable around people. Maybe because of who they are, or their past, or their reputation, or their language, or their skin color, or because he or she is not from town, and things like that. What steps can you take to create a more inclusive environment in your life or church? This is so difficult, especially when you have churches that people know each other, know the people that come in who are new, they look at the church, and everybody's already clicked, so they try to connect, and they don't find a place to connect. At the end of the service, the people who know each other gather together, come together, spending time together, laugh together, and the people who are new are looking at everybody like, okay, yeah, there is no space for me here. Right? So we need to be more intentional in spending time and open our spaces for people to connect. Jesus came to heal the sick. This is the tension between forgiveness and grace. Forgiveness talks about the past. You are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. But God will not leave us there. He wants us to grow. So he offers what? Grace. And grace is pushing us forward to the future, giving us immerit favor so that now we can grow and become more like Christ, pushing us. And the challenge is there. So yes, you are forgiven. Yes, I love you, but then now what? Now I'm going to give you grace. Forgiveness talk about the past. Grace connects the present to your future and says, now go. I give you the power to say no to sin. I give you the power to grow and become like Jesus. I give you the power to live out the will of God. Because after all, we are all broken in this tension between forgiveness in grace, where God already sees you as perfect, but he continued to perfect you. Wow. So hard to understand how God thinks. That's why he says that his thoughts and his will is higher than us. So I want to invite you this morning to reflect in these areas. You know, bring all these areas that you're reluctant to your community. As we share our lives together, that's when we grow together. We're too protected. We're pretending that everything is fine. We will never become a true community. How can you create an atmosphere of openness that encourages others to share their struggles? And that goes for St. John, but also at your home, your children. They need to feel safe to share with you anything. And when children go to other places to share stuff, most likely is because sometimes we fail to create the environment for them to feel safe, to share with us where they are, what is going on in their life. So I'm going to now invite the ushers to bring the cards back. And the only direction that I have for you is, as I read the questions, if your car says yes, whatever car you get, if your car says yes, you get up, okay? When I read the question, if your car says yes, if your car says no, you stay where you are. But if your car says yes, then you get up, okay? This is a very powerful exercise because it helps us to understand that we are not alone. We are not alone. We are all broken, despite, in spite of how we look like. Even the pastors, staff, we look like our life is all together. But in reality, we are all broken. That's what Jesus is teaching us. Yes. Yeah, I'm not doing anything with the card yet. I'm going to start when people have it. You have the cards? Good? Okay, so I'm going to read one at a time. And if your card says yes, you stand up when I read it. Do you struggle with depression, fear, or anxiety? If your card says yes, stand up. Wow. I want to invite you to look around. Sit down, please. Have you ever thought about or attempted suicide? If your card says yes, stand up. Wow. Sit down, please. Have you ever had sexual relationships with someone you weren't married to? If your card says yes, stand up. Sit down, please. Have you been verbally or physically abused or abusive? If your card said yes, please stand up. Wow. Sit down, please. Have you ever been addicted to something? If your card said yes, stand up. I believe if I say addicted to something or someone, more people would stand up. Question number 6. Do you take medication for mental or psychological struggles? If your card says yes, stand up. Yeah. Thank you. Are you ashamed of your sexual life? If your card says yes, stand up. Sit down, please. Are you lonely? If your card said yes, stand up. Amen. Question number 9. Have you ever struggled to believe God loves you, He likes you, and He wants what is best for you? If your card said yes, stand up. Last questions. Do you have any secrets? If your card says yes, stand up. Wow. Sit down. If your card says yes at any level, in any question, stand up. If you have even a one yes in your car, can you stand up? So, church, look around. And now I want you to say again, you are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. So you think you are alone? You are not. You wonder if God loves you? He does. You believe the church is perfect for perfect people? It isn't. You doubt grace is for you? It is. You wonder where you can fit in? Right here. We are all broken. So I'm going to ask you the last piece of this before we pray is to have an act of faith. And what the Bible teaches us is to leave our burdens, our sins, our trials, all the situations, all the brokenness, everything at the altar. So I'm going to ask you to stand up and you bring your card and pray for that card because someone filled it out. As you come forward, you pray for the card and you lift that card at the altar here and say, God, heal this person. Please stand up and come forward to the altar and leave this person at the altar. Just declare that God will bless this person. And let's pray. Let's pray for a few minutes. Let's pray for a few minutes. If you cannot get up, just pray where you are. But just pray. Pray. Pray for that person that filled out your card. Pray specifically for the areas that your card is marked, where your card is marked. Heavenly Father, thank you for accepting us as we are and calling us into your community. Help us to embrace our brokenness and share your grace with those around us. May we build a community that reflects your love and acceptance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.